Among those to be created cardinal by Pope Benedict XVI on Saturday, 18th of February, in an ordinary public consistory, is 86-year-old Augustinian Father Prosper Grech, thus becoming the first Maltese to be created cardinal in 168 years. I went round to call on him in an inquisitive mood, discovering some surprising things about him. Stay tuned. Tell me about yourself. You were born in Malta and then you came to Rome, I think, quite early as a priest. You were ordained in Rome?
Yes, I was ordained in Rome. I studied theology in Rome, both at the then international college we had and then at the Gregorian. And after that, I went to the Biblical Institute and specialized in biblical studies, actually. Went back to Malta and taught for a couple of years, and very luckily I got a British Council scholarship to Oxford, where I spent a year there researching with Professor Driver. And from there, then, I spent another year at Cambridge working with Professor Arbery, who was Professor of Persian and Arabic. He was interested in the Maltese language. And so we did some publishing together there, some translations of Maltese literature, etc. I was lucky in that regard. And I went back to Malta for another couple of years, and in 1961, I came back to Rome, and ever since I've been here.
You're an academic. And your particular expertise, I believe, is patristics. Is that correct?
Yes and no. That means when I came back to Rome, I came here to write a thesis for the Biblical Institute. But I was immediately seized upon by Monsignor van Leerde, who was then Bishop of the Vatican City. And I spent 3 years there in this golden cage as his secretary. I did study there, and I published a book while I was there. The general who called me from the Vatican was Father Trappé, and we had a dream together to found a patristic institute which would specialize in patristics, just as the Biblical Institute specialized in biblical studies. And what it took us about 4 or 5 years to do that. I knew very little about patristics. But then I chose the field of the transition between the New Testament and the early fathers, which interested me immensely. And I tried to specialize in that in the meantime, but I can't qualify myself as a strict patristic scholar. I'm a biblical scholar.
How do you see this honor that Pope Benedict XVI has bestowed on you? Do you feel it's a seal of approval on your biblical studies, on your professional know-how?
Well, I spent many years with him when he was prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. I was a consultor there. That's where I got to know him, and he got to know me. I don't know whether that merits a cardinalate or no, but he trusted me enough to send me as apostolic visitator to the seminaries in India 10, 15 years ago, I suppose. And now he's had, I don't know whether to say the goodness or the sense of humor to paint me in red.
Painted in red, you become one of the Pope's closest advisors. That's how cardinals are often described in the media. Are you already in that position you're stepping into as one of the Pope's closest advisors?
Well, mind you, there are over 100 of them, aren't there? I'm 86. I have very little experience in the Roman Curia. I'll have to start from scratch again.
You described the Vatican earlier on as a golden cage. Mm-hmm. So you're going to step inside that golden cage? You're going to be locked in there once again?
Well, I was locked in there for over 3 years. We had a room just outside the Sistine Chapel, and in fact, we were in charge, the sacristy, which belonged to the Augustinian order, sort of, you know, was in charge of the Sistine Chapel and the treasures therein, sort of living in there, having Swiss guard clicking their heels every time you pass. It's beautiful, of course, inside, but sometimes I just wanted to go out to the country and breathe fresh air.
You mentioned your special rapport with our current Pope, Benedict XVI, which goes back to when he was Cardinal Ratzinger as prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. Have you seen him here since he's become Pope? You actually meet sometimes?
I was appointed as a member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, which meets Sunday after Easter, after the first week of Easter, and the Pope usually gives us an audience and even a concelebration with him. So on these occasions, and even perhaps when I used to belong to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, I met him there with other groups of people, of course. I mean, not a private audience, but sometimes he asked me how old I was, how I'm faring, what I'm doing. So it just means that he does take a personal interest.
Can you share with us some of your emotions when you heard you were going to become a cardinal and be painted red, as you said?
Well, I was much better off before. I was much happier before. And had I been left in peace, really, I would have appreciated that. Not that I'm not thankful for this thing. But anyway, let the first 2 or 3 months pass, and then perhaps when the dust settles, I can just see what I'm in for.
You mentioned that you belong to the order of the Augustine, St. Augustine. That's something you share. The love for St. Augustine is something you share with this Pope, no?
Definitely. Anyway, we live according to the rule of St. Augustine and according to the tradition, the very old tradition of Augustinians that goes back to the 13th century. And, of course, St. Augustine, then, and his spirituality is the main study in our Patristic Institute. We study, of course, all the Fathers, but we do emphasize Augustine, and not only for academic reasons, but even for spiritual reasons.
Ordained a priest in 1950, if I'm correct, but you joined the Order of St. Augustine before that. I believe your vocation to the priesthood surfaced during the war years, that was the Second World War, in Malta. Tell me about this passage where you go from being a gunner to God, in a sense.
The RMA, the Royal Malta Artillery, when I was 16, my 17th birthday, I remember, was on Christmas Eve, and I was on guard. Malta was under siege. Everybody was conscripted at 18. But after a few months then, my vocation sort of consolidated, and the siege of Malta was at its tail end. And I went to the colonel, and he closed an eye and said, all right, but actually you can be called any moment in case of attack. But anyway, I mean, that doesn't come, so I started my novitiate immediately then at the age of 17 and now 18, almost 18. Anyway.
So Christmas Eve seems to be a hallmark. You were born on Christmas Eve, weren't you?
That's right, yes.
You've served under many popes, beginning with Pius XII. Tell me a little bit about the popes you were closest to, your strongest memories of some of them that you'd like to share.
Having served then with Van Lierde in the Vatican, one of our duties was to, it still is, to keep the sacristy. That means where the Pope's vestments are. And for every papal function, we used to go down and, dress the Pope. In a way, with all his copes or chasubles or whatever it is. There were two brothers, Augustinian brothers, and myself, who supervised in a way. And then we assisted at the altars. So we knew Pope John personally in that way. Sometimes he used to, address a good word to us and give us his blessing.
That's John the 23rd.
John the 23rd. Then he died, and we were inside the conclave. And I remember I was in the Vatican corridors once, and Paul VI, during the conclave, said, "Are you the conclave confessor?" And I said, "No, I go and call him." He said, "But can't you hear my confession?" I said, "Well, all right, come in." So we went to the San Matilde's, it's what called in those days, the chapel in the Vatican, heard his confession. And after a couple of hours, he was Pope. So that was an experience, wasn't it? We kept in touch because I was very friendly with his secretary, Monsignor Macchi. Very often we helped to decorate his apartment. Macchi was a great lover of art. So there was some sort of contact with him. And after that, then I had the experience of John Paul I. When he was cardinal, he very often came to our cottage and stayed there. And we formed a great friendship. I was full of admiration for him. He was a very, very humble man, simple man. I never saw him while he was Pope, only once in a general ordinance where he waved with a smile to me. I was in the first two rows. And after that, he said, "Look, my secretary has got to go back to Venice to bring back my things. Why can't you substitute him?" Well, at the time, there were some people, because I taught biblical theology, some thought was that was something Protestant, and some of the very rightest papers had my name on them. So I was a bit loath to connect myself with the Pope, under these circumstances. I said, "Look, just give me a couple of days to think it over, but I'd love to." Well, in those couple of days, unfortunately, he went missing. And that was a very, very great loss to me.
Tell me about the years of the Second Vatican Council. If I'm not mistaken, that was when you were in what you described as your golden cage in the Vatican. How did those years affect you?
I used to broadcast then in Maltese from Vatican Radio, and it was gathered then by rediffusion, Malta rediffusion. Every week I sent a synthesis of what had happened in the council in Maltese, which interested, of course, the population of Malta.
Are there any particular memories that you'd like to share beyond this broadcasting?
Well, my strongest memories were, of course, when De Verbum was being discussed.
The Word of God.
Yes, which dealt in a special way with Scripture and Revelation. Because, as you might know, the first draft of that document was very, very, very traditionalist and had to be replaced by a second one and a third one and a fourth one. And it's finally the fifth draft that was voted in. The biblical scholars were rather nervous about the outcome of this thing, but we were very satisfied then when it came out in its fifth edition.
Last year, you received a national award in Malta in 2011. The Order of Merit as Companion of Honour, which is the most prestigious rank, as it permits only three members at one time. Why did you get this award, do you think? What was the motivation?
That's what I asked myself as well. Because I never even knew about it, least of all dreamt about it. And it came really as a surprise.
Are you surprised? Got a communique from the Vatican to say you were going to become a cardinal?
My first reaction was, what for? I said, well, I suppose that he appreciates your work and all that stuff. All I can say is thank you very much, but I'm rather confused about it.
How do you think your life will change once the dust settles on your red hat?
Change? In what sense?
Will your life change as a cardinal?
I'm going to continue living in this college just as I did before. And my only regret is that I can't ride my scooter any longer now, although it's red.
Well, not because you're a cardinal, surely?
Well, some people consider it under the dignity of a cardinal to ride a scooter. I don't know what's the difference between that and driving a car.
And my thanks there go to Cardinal Designate Prosper Grech, an Augustinian from Malta. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.